Amen. Give yourselves a hand clap for coming in the doors. Thank God for our church. Thank God for everything. I am honored to be here this morning and be able to stand before you. We want to pray for our pastor. Keep him in prayer. He is out of town ministering for a pastor friend of ours whose wife lost her father in an unexpected tragedy. So he got the phone call the other day. I'm sitting in, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. And he got the call. I'm sitting in the kitchen. He said, shove me and you preaching. And I like, well, all right. We'll see what God wants to do. Amen, amen, amen. This morning I want to talk about coming out of the shadows. Coming out of the shadows. So many times we can get caught up being in somebody else's shadow, and God says, step out. Step out into your own. Step out into your own deep valley, because their walk is not going to be your walk. You have an individual walk, and your walk is going to be you, and you're going to take that walk, and that walk is going to stand before God one day. Get out of the shadows of someone else. See who you are. See where you're supposed to be in God. A shadow is defined as the dark figure cast upon a surface by a body, intercepting the rays from a source of light. Now, I want you to understand is that a shadow is light blocked by an object. The object can block all parts of light. Shadows change based on size. I read a quote and it stated, keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow. Keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow, end quote. How close are you to the light source? The question I want to ask this morning is to you, what side is your shadow facing? And how close is your shadow to the light of God? To the sun, to the S-O-N, and how close are you to the S-U-N? Or how close is your shadow to the enemy? The question should be, you want to ask yourself this morning, is my shadow facing the enemy? Who is my shadow facing? See, if you look down here, you see a shadow of me. My body is got a silhouette down here on the ground. And that silhouette is facing towards God, because why? I have made my election sure in Christ. I have made my foundation known in him. In Psalms 23 and 4, it reads, praise God, Ashley. It reads, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He said, yea, though I walk. So he's telling you there's going to be a many a day that you're going to walk through some valleys. You're going to walk through some issues. You're going to walk through some things that you don't want to walk through. But don't be dismayed. I am with you. He said, don't be dismayed, because even when you make your bed in hell, I will be with you. Even when you decide not to be with me, I'm still waiting on you. I'm still standing there with my arms open wide. Even though you decide to go to the left and I told you to go to the right, he said, even in that, you will walk through the valley and know that I am standing on the other side of the valley. Because if God is standing on the other side of the valley, I don't have to worry. Because why? I got a champion over here on the backside of me rooting for me and saying, go on, girl, you can conquer. Go on, take it. I'm waiting. The prize is at the end in me. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you got to walk in the valley of the shadow of death with such a confidence in knowing that though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though every hell comes upon me, yet I will not fear, because why? I'm walking through the shadow of death with you. And without you, I can do nothing. Can do nothing. Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, if you dwell, do you know what dwell means? That means I'm going to come over here with Pastor Sonia. And I'm just going to sup with her. I'm just going to take time, and I'm just going to dwell with her. Hey, what's up, girl? Hey, what you reading? Let's talk about the Bible. You know what? We want to learn about the Word of God. We want to dwell, because when you're dwelling in the Word of God, that means you're dwelling in the very presence of God. You're not dwelling to be seen. You're not dwelling to be heard. You're dwelling to get a relationship with the Savior that can walk you through anything that you're going through. But you first got to dwell with Him. You first got to get a relationship with Him. And if you don't have the relationship with Him, don't blame Him when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into diverse places, and you're looking around like, where's God? Where's God? And God's saying, well, where you been? You ain't been with me, so why should I be with you? Isaiah 32:2, it says, each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm. Like streams of the water in the desert, in the shadow of the great rock in a thirsty valley. See, you can be thirsty in the valley, and I don't have to worry about, because if I'm thirsty in the valley, all I got to do is just hit the rock. Ain't that what Moses did? He hit the rock, and the water flowed out. The river, the water flowed out. But when I went to the source of the water. When he was at the well, and the woman came and Jesus was like, I need drink, and said, Well, you're not supposed to be here. This is not your well, you know, and stuff like that. And Jesus was like, I can give you a water that you will never thirst again. It's a water that's going to drench in every area of your life. If you're looking for a thirst, if you're thirsty for somebody, be thirsty for God. Because when you get thirsty enough for God, it don't matter who's around you. It don't matter who comes. It don't matter who leaves. It don't matter what's going on. Because if I am thirsty for God, that means I am thirsting for His righteousness. I am thirsting for His safety. I'm thirsting for His peace. I'm thirsting for everything He has for me, but I got to get thirsty. Sometimes you got to get thirsty for God to be able to say, here I am. Fill me up. I'm empty. Fill this vessel up, God. I'm thirsty for you. I can't make it without you. And then He says, when you are abiding in the presence and dwelling in the secret place, the thirsting of God, you can walk through any valley. You can walk through any shadow of death. You can walk through anything, no matter what the report says. The Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the shadow of those doctors telling you ain't never going to walk. You ain't never going to be able to speak. You ain't never going to be able to this, that, and the other. No, sir. I said, I'm going to be the report of the Lord, because He's the one that orders my steps. He's the one that gives me the will and gives me desire and gives me the thirst, and He fills me up and He protects me and He leads me and He guides me and He directs me. I'm going to thirst on the Lord and keep your eyes straight on Him, because the prize is in Him. And then I loved it when Job went through a lot, right? Job went through a lot. He didn't ask for it. He loved God with all his heart. And all of a sudden, he gets cast with all these boils and all these different things come upon his body. And he's like, he loses everything. And not only that, he has a wife that says, you still gonna serve God? You still gonna love Him? You need to curse God and die. And Job looked at this woman. You know, and I'm from women. God knows I am. I'm from women. But he said to the woman, you talk like a foolish woman. Shall we not receive the bitter as well as the unbitter with God? Shall we not basically say, should I not take the bad stuff that comes as well as the good stuff? And shall I not still serve Him no matter what comes, no matter what goes? And Job said this thing. He said, that, yea, though they slay me, yea, though everything is coming up around me, everything I look to the left, I look to the right, and it's coming up upon me. He said, but I will maintain my ways upon Him. I will maintain my way unto Him. Now, did you catch that? When Job said that I will maintain my ways before Him, he is simply saying, I've been worshiping you, God. Even though this has come, the worst thing has come upon my life, I'm going to keep on worshiping me. Even though this has fallen upon me, even they say this, I got this, and they say I got that. But you know what, God? I'm going to keep worshiping you. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to say, Lord, for you I live, for you I die. And ain't no devil in hell going to be able to take it from me. Because why? I have put my affections upon the one who places his affections upon me. That's the mindset that we have to have, unity. That's what we need to adopt. Yea, though they slay me, yet everything wants to just come upon me. Oh, I thought I just got out of that thing. Yeah, you did, but you know what? There's going to be other things you're going to have to go through, and you're still going to have that same strength that walked you through that. You're going to have that same strength to walk you through this, because once you come out of one, you're going to go into another. You're going to go into another. That's called life. That's called the process. And he said that we was going to go through persecution. He said that we was going to go through stuff. So why do you think that you're not going to go through? When you become a child of God, you take on his attributes. Like it's Sunday school, you take on his attributes. So therefore, you take everything that he put out there, and then you just take it upon you. Because why? You want to dwell in him. You want to be with him. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Not only am I going to trust him, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to honor him. I'm going to tell him, Daddy, because you know what? He's my daddy. And I didn't know my biological father, but you know what? I always had a daddy. I always had a father. And that father, it lasted a whole lot longer than the natural father. It's a father that I can come to in the middle of the night and say, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need somebody to hold me. My heart is broken. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to be able to come over this. And he says, it's okay, baby. I got you. Fall into my arms. I got you. I got you. You don't have to worry. No, yeah, I see what they're doing. I see the words. I see how they treat you. I see how they don't want to bother you. I see how you feel like you're all alone. But you know what? I said, I'd never leave you, nor would I forsake you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And all I want you to do is just sup with me. Come spend some time with me. Because when you spend some time with me, you'll understand that yes, worship me. Yes, honor me. Yes, love me. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, he's still a good, good father. He's still a good, good father. I don't care what you're going through this morning. If you got God on your side, he is still a good, good father. And he is waiting on you to step in line to where you can receive all the goodness that he has stored up for you. Some of the times, the reason why you can't get some of that goodness that's stored up for you, because you ain't in the right place with him. And if you ain't in the right place for him, why you think you gonna get it? It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. It's just like if Maya clean her room, she get allowance. She pick up around the house, she get allowance. You're rewarded. You got to do something in order to get something. He's not a genie in a bottle. You can't just rub him every time. Hey, I need this, so you know what? Come give it to me, God. No, he said you got to do something too. You got to give up of yourself. You got to lay yourself down. Like I laid myself down for you, you got to lay yourself down for me in order to be able to get what I got for you. It doesn't matter what is coming up against you, as long as you have surrounded yourself with the shadow of God covering you completely, leaving no room for the enemy. There ain't no devil in hell that can stop what God has for your life. Ephesians 6 and 16, it says, above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with you, extinguishing all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He's giving you the solution. He's giving you the tool to put the fire out. And he gives us the tool to put the fire out. It's called the Word of God. When you're going through a fire, when you're going through torment, you're going through troubles, you're going through this, that, and the other, and it's the flames are feeling like they're all over your head. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out this debt. I don't know how, I don't know what's going to go on with my kids. I don't know. They walk around like they ain't got no sense. They get cutting up in school. They doing this and that. The job is getting on my nerves. If that person says one more thing to me, God, I'm going to do what I said I wouldn't do. I said, but God, I need you. He said, extinguish them with the fire, with the Word of God. I give you everything. I've given you the prototype. I've given you direction. I've given you the roadmap. Use it. Because when you use it, ain't no devil going to be able to come against God's Word. Amen. Beloved, It is going to take the faith of God in order for you to keep your mind free from the shadows that are clinging onto you for dear life. Did you not know you have shadows that cling to you? They're called demonic spirits. And they cling to you. They cling to you. They won't let you go. They won't let you go. Because those shadows, they don't want you to let you go, because you know what? They understand that if you ever get free, if you ever get free from the demonic shadows, if you ever just see that little, I'm a sky watcher. I love the sky. God shows me shapes of just of heaven in the sky all the time. But the thing about it is, when it's a cloudy day and you see just that the sun just kind of poking through, or the ray of light just poking through, that is your opportunity to grasp the hand of God and say, Lord, pull me out of the shadows, what is trying to keep me boggled down, what is trying to keep me trapped up. Pull me out. Lord, I see the ray. I see the shadow in the ray. I see your hand trying to dip down and pull me up to where you want me to be. I see it, God, because the enemy knows. Get free, get free, get free. When you get free, that's when God can do the transformation in your life that is needed for your life. This is called the pruning session. You know, my husband makes fun of me because, you know, I grew up on a farm. We used to prune trees. In order for something to grow, you got to cut the dead off. And if you don't cut the dead off, you're not going to be able to have the fruit later on. Same way in the spirit. If you don't cut what is killing you on a daily basis off, it's going to eventually kill you. It may kill you naturally. I'm just saying. It may kill you. It may kill you taking someone you love. That's a killing in itself. But it's called a pruning. Sometimes we got to know that cutting away things, that is God keeping you from the things that's trying to keep you. Keeping you from being the man or woman of God that he has called you to be. In Hebrews 12 and 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Wait, and then sin that easily beset us. And again, it goes on to say, run the race with patience that's set before you. There's been a race set before you. How you running it? How you running it? I tell you what, I used to be a ball player, played softball all my life, loved it. And you had to run around the bases. You had to get your endurance up. You had to get your strength up to be able to run, to be able to make it to the home plate. And the more you practiced, and the more you strengthened up, and the more you lifted weights, and the more you did this, and the more you did that, it was easier to be able to run across the base. It was easier to run and hit the ball out of the park. You was able to do that because why? I laid aside every and anything that was weighing me down. Lay it down. If it's weighing you down, lay it down, because you know what? Everything cannot go with you. Everything cannot go with you where God is trying to take you. Sometimes you got to cast that thing down, because if you decide to keep that shadow, that demonic entity, whatever it may be, close to you, you will never get where God is trying to take you in life. You got to be willing to lay it down. You got to be willing to let it go. Sometimes people have angered you. People have said all kind of thing against you. Hey, they did it to Jesus. What you think they're going to do to you when you decided to be a child of God? You ain't no more than what God was. Hallelujah. He was the one that did the ultimate thing for us. He's the one that sacrificed himself for us. So if they talked about him, spit on him, took his beard out, beat him without any recognition that his mama didn't even know who a son was, then what do you think you're going to go through once you take on the cross? Because when you take the cross on, you take a whole different look upon yourself. Whole different look upon yourself. That's why he says, lay aside. Lay it aside. Don't pick it up. When you come down here to the altar, when the altar call is called, lay it there. Don't pick it up, because you just messed up your shoes coming down here. If you're going to pick it up and take it on back out the door. But if you lay it down, you ain't got to worry about it. It's there. He will not. You don't have to go back and pick it up. He don't want you to pick it up. He wants you to leave it there. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth. That man, that woman, they can't care for you like God can care for you. That caring God gives you, it is that, I'm going to put you back together again. I see where you're broken. I see where you got messed up. I see the hatred around you. I see where people laugh you, but talk about you behind your back. I see how they say, oh, I love you, First Lady. I'm with you, First Lady. But you know what? My mama said, you can count your hands, on friends on one hand. And I know I got plenty of fingers left over. And that's the same way with salvation. You can look at salvation and look and see if it's on a person, and you know it ain't on a person just by the way they live, by the way they talk, by just the way that they actions, the way they move, the way that they, just everything. That's why he says, lay it aside. Don't pick it up. If you lay it there, leave it there. Lay it down. And then he talks about every way, lay it aside. That says, from your, because when you lay it aside, you're getting him. You're going to be able to honor him. You're going to be able to love him. And what I need you to understand is that the weight has nothing to do with your body. Ain't got nothing to do with your body. But everything to do with your mind. It ain't got nothing to do with this vessel. It's got to do something with that mind. Because your mind is a key in how you perceive things. Meaning, perceive things is how I see things. Because sometimes some people can say something to me, and I'd be like, did I take it the right way? Did I see it the right way? Huh. I'm really not sure. God, I'm going to have to take that little action to you, because I want to make sure I saw it right. I want to be able to, I digested it right. I want to make sure that I'm not going to throw it back up and then spit something out to that person that I shouldn't have said in front, and then it's going to make me get back on the altar. So therefore, I want to perceive what has been spoken to me. I want to perceive it right. So if you can change your mind, then you can change being nasty. You can change that slick tongue. You can change that issue of arrogancy. You can change that thing of entitlement. It's those things. It's those vices that will keep you from God. Oh, it's only one puff. It's only one time. It's only one night. No one's going to know. Beloved, it may be, yeah, that first time, that first thought, that first moment that will trick yourself away to a place where you might not be able to come back from. I work the funerals here at this church all the time. I got a witness. She's here with me. She's here. I work the funerals here all the time. I see so many young people. Brings me to tears because they have let somebody trick their life off. He promised us 70 years. 16 years old is not 70 years. When I see a baby wheeled out of here, that is not God's desire for your life. It's what you chose for your life. It's this what you kind of liked it. You liked it. You wanted it to be a part of you. You didn't want to let it go. So you know what? It tricked you off. It tricked you away from here. And when it gets you in that place, you know, you have to make sure you got to be surrounded by some for real praying people, saints of God who knows how to get to the throne of grace, not to the throne of the step, but be able to get to the throne where his feet are and be able to present their issue to God. Because until you get that issue presented to God and them getting freed from the shackles and the bondage that's trying to take them out, they're going to continue being wheeled up out of here at young age. Every time you turn around, they're so young. And I say to myself, I was playing ball at their age. I was had a job at their age. What in the world? We got an enemy that they don't understand that they got. No matter how people tell you, they don't want to see the enemy. It's just music. It's just music. Music that's damning you to hell. It's just music. I'm not standing up here saying I've been saved from the wound down. Hey, I did my little dirt. But when I came into God, I said no more. I didn't look back. I wasn't like Sarah, like when Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pleaded for Lot's wife or the family, Lot's family to be able to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave instruction, specific instruction to Lot and his family. When I bring you out, don't you look back. When I bring you out of your mess that you have gotten yourself into, don't look back. Because if you look back, you will be turned into a pillar of salt. Because why? You wanted the stuff back there more than you wanted me. You didn't want me. You didn't want me because I told you to face forward. I told you to stand in me. I told you to keep your eyes on the prize which was in me. So for you looking back and going back to your folly, that's what happened. She turned around, went back to the stuff that was keeping her hindered. Oh, but I love them. I'm so sad. They're going to burn. They're going to burn. They're not going to make it out. That's their choice if that they didn't make it out, because God gave them all a choice to make it out. So what happened to her? She look back, and where she stood is where she's standing now as a pillar of salt. So once you decide to go back and you just like, and people looking like, really? But you was on your way. You was on your way. You was doing good. You was doing good. Yeah, but I got distracted. Yeah, I let this thing kind of come upon me and I remember them, and you know, hey, we used to have a good time, and hey, you know, this, that, and the other, and like, hey, and God saying, hey, look at me, and you left me, and I was standing there trying to bring you out, but it looked so good back there. It looked so good. It kept you, but it'll never be able to keep you like I can keep you. Those demonic shadows like to cling to you. Those shadows that know you well. It knows what you like. It knows how to tempt you. It knows where you live. It knows what you eat. It knows where you sleep. It knows you. And may I suggest that when you look into the mirror and that shadow that is looking back, say, I'm looking back at my shadow right here, and it's looking back at me. You are the issue. You are the problem. It's you. Because people don't understand, devil don't do everything. Everything is not the devil's fault. Sometimes it's what you walk yourself into. Sometimes it is the enemy. And then sometimes it's a test from God to see where you are. Are you for real with me? Are you in line with me? Let me just throw something at you. And let me see if you're going to stand still and watch my salvation pass you by. Let me see if you're going to stand still and watch everything that I've said that I promised that you was going to have be fulfilled in your life. Are you going to stand or are you going to fold? I got to test you. I got to take you through. That's what he did with Job, because the enemy couldn't touch Job until the devil went up there with the heavenly angels, with the heavenly court. And God said, Satan, what are you doing up here? What you doing up here, Satan? Well, you know what? I just been walking to and fro. I just been canvassing the earth. I just been looking at everything, how everything is going. And he said, what do you want, basically? What do you want? Well, you've got your hedge, your protection over this, and hedge over that. Let me tell you something. I'll take my hedge off of Job. But one thing I'm going to tell you, you can't take his life. You can touch him in every area. Anybody been like that? You know you ain't done nothing wrong. You know you've been walking up right before God. And God just says, let me test them. Let me see how they're going to be. Let me see how they're going to react. And what did Job do? He was faithful through it all. He stood firm through it all. Even though the wife told him to curse God and God, his friends came and said, what you do? You done messed yourself up now. Look at all this stuff you done may have, and you done lost everything. You know, no, and God said, Job said, I'm going to maintain my ways. I'm still going to trust him. I don't care. I'm still going to trust him. Are you going to trust God today? Or do you understand that sometimes you are your biggest enemy? You are what is keeping you from getting everything God wants you to get in your life, period. You can be your own worst enemy. I know we can be our own worst critique. I know we can be our own worst person. You're in the mirror trying to fix your hair. You're like, is that right? I don't know if that's, I may have put a little glue right there. That's not laying down. Oh, no, that's not going to work. But God said, give it to me. I got you. Give it to me. I got you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. In James 4:7, Amplified, it says, submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purifying your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. One thing I want to say, he said your loyalty. Who you loyal to? Are you loyal to the car? Are you loyal to the job? Are you loyal to your money? Are you loyal to the kids? Are you loyal to yourself? Are you who you loyal to? Because God said you got a divided, basically you got a divided heart. You got a divided thing. Who are you with? Who are you with? That's just like baptism. It don't save you. People think baptism saves you. It does not. Baptism only tells whose side you on. It's an identification badge, basically, that you are taking when you walk up the steps, go in the water, come up out the water. So therefore, God's saying, who you with? Who you with? Are you with me or with God? Are you going to keep that divided heart? Or are you going to say, for God I live and for God I die? Or are you going to say, I just don't know right now? Well, then God's going to say, well, since you just don't know right now, I guess my hands got to be lifted from you. My hands got to be lifted from you. Some of us that are claiming Jesus on the outside, but for real, they resemble nothing of him inside. Let me prove my point. Matthew 15:8. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can say, I'm with God. I'm with Jesus, 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 Jesus. Don't you know the enemy knows Jesus? Don't you know the enemy knows God? Don't you know he was the most radiant angel? He knows who is spewing out saying that they're for real with God and who is not for real for God. You know, and when you are playing that game with God, he says, I'm not mocked. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me because you'll get messed up when you're trying. You claiming God, but you are living a whole different other life. You cannot do that, and because you know what? You will miss out on what he has for your life because you say you love me. He said, these people honor me with their lips, meaning it's lip service, but you don't honor me with your heart. I see the heart. I see who you really are. I see who you don't want people to see, but I know you, and you don't want me to expose you because you don't want me to, because that's why you said, I'm a God, because you are trying to keep up an image, but God goes past the image. God knows who you are, what you're about, and what your heart is. And he knows if you're not for him, he's going to make you show your face. Show your face. God hears and knows who truly belongs to him. Because God will only answer to who answers to him. So that's what I'm saying. You can scream God all you want. But if you ain't got no relation with him, don't expect him to answer the way you think he's going to answer. Don't you know the enemy hears what you're trying to do? And since you ain't chose that side, it's not God giving you what you want. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. Because you ain't chosen a side. And if you ain't chosen a side, then that means you ain't on God's side. It is what it is. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will be able to snatch them out of my hands. The scripture says, come away from what is unclean, and I will receive you as my sons and daughters. Lay it down. Come away from it. You're allowing those things to keep you held down in bondage, to keep you tied up, to keep you messed up, shackled up. He said, lay them down. I want to receive you as my son. I want to receive you as my daughter. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to miss out on having an awesome life down here on the earth. I don't want you to miss out on me. Let it go. Lay it down. The word of God is urging believers to separate themselves from anyone, any connection to worshiping idols on the ongoing and participating in sin. Listen, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And if you ain't ready to say yes, God, don't say it, because the Bible says it's better that you not make a vow and don't make a vow and keep it. So therefore, if you make a vow unto God and you don't keep it, He's coming for you. And it says, if you are claiming to be saved, then act like it. The Bible says in Romans 14 and 16, it says, let not your good be evil spoken of. That says it all in a nutshell. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. But God, I wasn't doing nothing. I was just with them, you know. That's your good being evil spoken of. You got to separate yourself from what is trying to kill you. You got to separate yourself from what you know ain't right. Sometimes you got to separate yourself from them family, from the friends, from the associates, from people on the job. Because you know why? Because sometimes people are sent right beside you. They are sent by the enemy to mess you up, to get you caught up, because you don't want to let them go. You don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Oh, well, that you're going to be getting your own feelings hurt when you're over in the lake burning up because you decided to be with them more than God. You decided to take them on instead of taking God on. And he's saying, just watch yourself. Don't let your good be evil spoken. If you are claiming me, then claim me for real. Don't get caught up with everybody else, because it'll be you the one to get caught up, not everybody else. Meaning, when you see the evil shadow forming around you, and we can see them. You can see them. You know them. And you know the shadows. They're familiar. You know the look. You know the sound of them. You know the touch of them. You know the smell of them. It comes for you to trick your hand off. And in that moment is where you can excuse yourself and come out of what is trying to kill you. There's no harm in telling your buddy that wants to sit over there and, okay, they doing their thing. They're drinking, they smoking, they doing whatever. They promiscuous, whatever. Y'all have that. That's not my life. That's not what I want to portray. That's not what I want. And I don't want people to see me in that, because they're going to perceive that I am with that set of people when I'm really not. I'm in the set of God. But how do they know? Because you're surrounding yourself with the people who don't want to let the stuff go. So therefore, they're going to count you in the crowd. They're going to put you as one of the number, and you're going to get hauled off and messed up, because why? You were right there. What do people say? My husband will say, he tells me all the time, he said, you just wouldn't know. I said, no. Guilty by association. Sometimes, a lot of times, Christians can be guilty by association. That's why he says, get away from them. Get away from them. Get away from what's trying to kill you. Break free from those shadows, those hidden shadows that don't mean you a bit of good. They talk good. They sound good. They smell good. They got money. They got a job. But I promise you, it's a smoke screen. The devil wants to put a smoke screen over your eyes. He wants you to see what looks good. He wants you to smell what looks good. He wants you to see what, oh my goodness. I tell you what, probably about 10 years ago, we was at a church. It was where we met Jamal Bryant here in Lexington. And this man, if anybody knows him, popular preacher, pastor. And he sat right in front of us, me and Stephen, in front of us at this church. And I just went, I mean, you could smell his cologne when he sat down. And I said, Stephen, he smells like $1 million. Stephen said, no, he smelled like $2 million. Yeah, but the simple fact was, his smell radiated the whole atmosphere where he came in. Our scent can radiate. And it's able to attach itself to something that don't need to be attached to, because why? You have not fixed your affections upon the Lord to where you will not be able to be snatched up out of the grasp of God. He said, it's a smokescreen. You just seeing the shadows. They want you to see and hear what they want you to see and hear. It's called the representation, the representative. I'm sorry. It's called the representative. The representative can show you everything, what you want to see, to make it sound good, to make it look good. Oh, we're going to go out to eat. We're going to do this, and I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of that for you, this, that, and the other. And you do it. And then what happens? Then they got you, and then they can do whatever they want to you. Because why? You stepped over into their lane. You stepped over into that side. You put your Christianity on a hanger, and you hung it on the wall because you wanted to be in the crowd. You wanted to be able to have that phone. You wanted to be able to do what you wanted to do. But God is in the background saying, no, don't you see? It's a smokescreen. It's not going to end up the way you want it to end up. You're going to get hurt. Everything is going to be taken from you. You're going to get messed up. Don't do it. Run. Stay away. Run. And some of the ladies know I have a saying when they're going through stuff and they're getting messed up. So I don't know if someone will say. I have a saying. One of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. And when he is running, and Jenny, you know, we know Jenny. And Jenny is saying, run, Forrest, run. And I tell, and the thing about, I don't know, people don't realize, when he was running as fast as he can, you know, he had shackles on his legs, right? But what he did, he was running and running, and the faster he ran, the faster the bolts came up, the faster the braces came off, the faster he was able to run when he got loosed of the shackles. That's what God wants us to do today. Get loosed of the shackles. Get loosed of the shadows that are trying to kill you. Get loosed of that thing that you don't think that you can get rid of. He said, I'm here to take it. All you got to do is give it to me. Get loose. Run to me. Don't walk. Right now, we're in a season and a dispensation in our lives that we are supposed to be running to the throne of God. We're supposed to be running like never before and not looking back to take us into the enemy's hands. He said run, and run with endurance, meaning run to where you don't get weak. Run to where you don't get tired, because ain't no tiredness in me, because if you get tired, all you got to do is say, help me, God. Lift me up, Jesus. I need you. I need you to lift me up. I need you to hold me. I need you to take me through. I need you to just walk with me through that. I need you just to hold me in your arms. I need you. I need you. Don't get caught up with the representation. Don't get caught up. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come. I have came. Excuse me. That I might have life and have it in abundance. And abundance is saying to be full till it overflows. I don't know about you, but I want the abundance of God. I want the blessings to just run over and run over and run over and run. And it just don't run over to my cup. It spills to her cup. And that cup spills to your cup. And that cup spills to that cup. Because why? We are being run over with the blessings of God. We are being run over with the faith of God. We are being run over with the strength of God. We are being run over with his love, with his patience, with his strength, with everything. We're being run over. He's just filling us up and filling us up and filling it up. When you get empty, just throw your pot out there. He said, I'll fill you up to where you don't want no more. I'll give you more than what you ever thought you was going to be able to have. And you know what? Ain't nobody going to be able to take it away from you, because why? I gave it to you. And ain't no devil going to be able to snatch it out of your hands if God gave it to you. If God gave it to you. Beloved, come out of the shadows. Those things that you think that are hindering, that are hiding, and no one knows about it, that's trying to steal you away from God. Come away from what's keeping your mind confused. Come away from what's tearing your heart up. Come away from being bound up and shackled up to life, to a life that will eventually lead you up in disaster. Come away from it. Run. Run, Forrest. Replace your name with Forrest. And I'd be like, run, Miriam, run. Till you can't run no more. Till you fall down and you're at my feet. And I'm able to put my hands on you. I'm able to raise you up. Run. Get away from what's trying to kill you. Run. Run. Don't you fall weak. Get your strength up. Get your endurance up. Read that Bible, because that Bible is going to give you the strength to keep on moving. It's going to give you the strength to keep on pressing into me. Read, read, fast, pray, read. Keep your endurance up. Because when you keep the endurance up, you won't fall into the disasters. Because why? You got a word to put on it. You got a word to put on it. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 through 18. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, saith the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. 18, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. When he says, saith the Lord, that's a promise. He don't go back on his promises. There's two things he cannot do. He cannot lie, and he does not fail. He will not. You can take those things to the bank, and you will get your interest back when you get into God. You can pull out any amount of money you want to. You can pull out any amount of, say, Lord, I need new mercies. I need new grace. I need new strength. I need new favor. I need to be able to open my eyes so I can see what was trying to come upon me. I just need you. He said, just come. Lay it all aside. Just come to me. So there has been there has been to be moving out of things. There has to be a moving out of things. You know how you move from one house to another? I hate that, don't y'all, if y'all ever moved. I still got boxes still stuff in them. And I ain't getting ready to unpack them either, you know? Oh, man. I'm sorry, sidebar. It just hit me like moving out things. When you are moved, you got to move out some things. Those things can be contrary to God so that he can move in. God can't move in if you cluttered up. God can't give you what you need if you ain't got no room for him. There's a song that says, I will make room for you. I will make room for you. Make the room for God. That's all he wants you to do. Make the room. Get out the way and let him fill you up. Let him take care of everything that's going on with you. Cast them upon him. He said, make room for me and I'll make room for you. Because if you don't make room for me, don't think that I'm going to make room for you. He says, come out. Come out. God is calling each and every one of us today to come out of the shadows and make a real home with him. Not a home with your boo, your bae, your whatever. Make a home with him, because when you make a home with God, you will not be disappointed. You will not be upset. You will not be feeling like you're downtrodden, like you ain't never going to have anything. No, he said, I am here to fill your cup up to where it is overflowing, to where you don't have to worry about a thing, and you will know them who labor among you when they come out from them. Come out of the shadows. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Marion, for that word. Give it praise to God. He that dwells in the shadow, the secret place of the Most High, and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I like how it says Almighty. Almighty. There's nothing that he can't do. Almighty. We all live in shadows. Shadows of our past. Shadows of what's done to us. What we didn't have, what we did have, shadows of what my decisions got me. But I want to live in the shadow of God. Because if you read the rest of Psalms 9,